Let's just pray today before we come before the scriptures. Father God, we want to thank you for who you are and for all that you have done for us. And Lord, in this moment, we want to thank you for your word, which is eternal and life-giving. And so in this moment, may it be your word and not my words that speaks into our hearts and our souls. Bring comfort and bring challenge, we pray. But most of all, Lord, may our ears be open for your voice and for your leading. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This series that we're doing at the moment, There Is Power in His Presence, leads us to this passage of the healing at the pool today. A passage that had been set for today quite a long time ago, and it's been laid out as we preach through this series, if you like. I'll be honest with you as we begin this, all right? I'm always honest with you. It's not that every other Sunday I'm not, all right? But I had something prepared for this morning, specifically on this passage, to walk through it almost verse by verse and to teach about his presence. But the uneasiness in me all the way through Friday, and especially yesterday, it has made me leave those notes at home. Because I feel that this passage needs to speak into where we find ourselves today, into the culture that's around us, and the moment that we find ourselves with this World Health Organization's pandemic of coronavirus. And so in one sense, I've written down two or three little points as I've prayed this through, and I've spent a lot of yesterday and up early this morning praying and trying to listen to what it would be that I would say this morning. But I also feel in this moment, Romans chapter 8 has a little verse in it that says, whenever you don't know what you're going to pray or say, the Spirit intercedes on your behalf. See, this passage of this pool, I honestly picture the image of that in our heads to start off with. The reason that people gathered around this pool was that whenever the waters stirred within it, people would rush into it because there was a belief and a reality that healing would happen from this pool, that there was something almost mystical within these waters that created healing within your body. So this wasn't one man sitting beside a small pool. It's a sizable enough pool, but there would have been hundreds of people sitting around this pool, watching eagerly and waiting for the waters to stir. And whenever the waters stir, they would have got up and rushed into it, believing that they would then be healed. But this man was an invalid. He couldn't move. So whenever the pool stirred, he couldn't get from where he was to the pool. In a sense, whenever the pool stirred, there was, for want of a better phrase, mass hysteria around it. Everybody was trying to get into it. And people were being left to the side, unable to get what they needed and where they needed. And if any of you have been to certain supermarkets recently, you'll have realised that some of the aisles are completely empty. And so in a sense, there's a palpable sense of fear at the moment. A fear that is stirring up within it even more fear. Now, in one sense, fear is actually quite a good thing. Because we're fearful to put our hand in the fire because we know we will get burned. We are fearful to go too near to the edge of a cliff in case we fall off it. So in one sense, fear can be a really good thing because it can hold us back. But a pandemic of fear that whips everybody up into hysteria can't be good. It creates confusion in the world. It creates confusion around what it is that you're supposed to do and when you're supposed to do it and how you're supposed to do it. And is it safe to come out of the house or stay in the house? Is it safe to even have a Tesco's delivered, to have a supermarket deliver things to your house? Because actually, who has touched those things before they get, so there is a lot of fear being wrapped up and welled up in this. But the interesting thing actually about this passage is this. So I've kind of given the background and we join it in verse 5. One of those who had been there, an invalid for 38 years, whenever Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he'd been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" Now, often in the healings that we've been looking at and we will continue to look at in the weeks coming, it's the person who cries out to Jesus for help. Last week, it was the official who came and said, "Will you come to my son?" It's the blind beggar at the side of the road who knows that Jesus is passing and cries out, "Son of David, son of David." But in this instance, it's Jesus who approaches the individual and says, "Do you want to get well?" This is only my take on this. But I imagine if you've been an invalid for 38 years and unable to move a number of feet to get into the pool to receive healing, and somebody comes along and says, "Do you want to get well?" You might go, "Seriously, what sort of question is that?" Of course the answer is yes. Jesus didn't take him to the pool. He simply said, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." And at once, not a few hours later, not a few days later, but at once the man got up. He heard Jesus' words and he trusted them. He had faith. He had trust. Even though he didn't know who Jesus was, because whenever you read on in this story, as we heard, whenever Derek was reading it, whenever the temple officials asked him, who healed you? He says, I don't know who he was. Because he said, pick up your mat and walk, and then he disappeared into the crowd. I don't even know who he was. But there is still power in his presence. Even if we don't recognize Jesus in the moment, there is still power in his presence. Even if we don't have faith in him, there is still power in his presence. Because he can't change who he is. So, here's three things that I want to try to talk about today. So we need to temper, we understand that we phrase temper, kind of take the age off it. Temper fear with reason. Panic with patience and uncertainty with faith. And in one sense, I think if we do this, we can bring a balance into our lives and into the world around us in the current climate. See, if we temper fear with reason, then we are saying, in the midst of all of the hype and, let's face it, some of the mistruths that are going around about what COVID-19 is, the effect that it will have, and what it's going to do. Do you know, in the last week, I've never been so glad that I am on social media because it's filled with experts now. I didn't know what to do until I went onto Facebook, and now all of a sudden I can find a plethora of experts telling me what I'm able to do. But sometimes, isn't that what happens, isn't it? It's that mistruth of conversations. Oh, I heard, I tell you, and then somebody else hears from you, and then somebody else hears, and then all of a sudden, that must have come from an expert, because that sounds logical. We know that. Even before social media was alive, that's what happened in the community. That's what happened in the shops. That's, you know, it builds on itself. But if we can temper that fear that is being escalated with reason, the man at the pool, even though he was fearful of his condition, fearful that he couldn't get into the pool, he didn't stop trying. He reasoned it in his head that if only he could get to the pool, he would be healed. We know that COVID-19 is an illness and a disease that will attack some of the most vulnerable in our society. We have heard that from our leaders and from our medical experts. And so we need to be very careful. Of course, we need to be very careful. We need to reason out in our heads, is it appropriate to do that action? Is it appropriate to visit that individual? Is it appropriate to attend that mass gathering? Whatever it is, we need to reason those things out. But we need to temper the fear with the reason. That even though across the world, many people have already died from this illness, there are many other hundreds of thousands who have contracted it and survived. We need to temper panic with patience, fear with reason. I had a verse I wanted to share at that point. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of reason, and of self-discipline. That God is with us in our decisions and in our thinking. And what if we temper panic with patience, and we just think for a wee moment, I haven't got the exact numbers in my head, right? So if I've got this wrong, forgive me, but there's a gentleman in the United States who currently has 177,720 packets or bottles of disinfectant and sanitizers. Attempting to sell them on Amazon at a massive profit. And Amazon have blocked his account. But panic leads us to think, there's no sanitizers in Boots, there's no sanitizers in Gordon, there's no sanitizers in Tesco's. I must now go and buy some. Because there's not any anywhere. So if I see one, I must buy it because then I have it. Because there must be a reason why there's none of it there. But if we temper the panic with a little bit of patience, Psalm 46 and verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. If we just take a step back and still ourselves, take a deep breath and listen for God's voice. Often that moment of panic will be replaced with patience, and we will come to a much more logical and reasoned decision about our fear. And if we temper uncertainty with faith, because there is a lot of uncertainty in the world around us. A lot of uncertainty about what is going to happen. When is this going to end? What's it going to look like? Have we hit the peak of it? When is the peak going to come? Should I send my children to school? When are they going to close schools? Should I come to church this morning? Should I stay at home this morning? There is a lot of uncertainty in the world around us. But if we replace that with an element of faith, not a reckless faith that simply says, do you know what? I can go and do anything because I'm completely invincible. But a faith that says, as right away, 1 John says that, 1 John 1, 4 and 4, where he says, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. We have faith that the God that we worship is alive and that he is sovereign today, that he is still in control today. Even though we necessarily can't see that at the moment, it does not change the characteristic that he is still sovereign and that he is still in control. I was in a well-known supermarket, Tesco's, 2 or 3 days ago. I saw a number of yous there as well. Got to speak to one or two. Others were at a further distance. I didn't get a chance. But there was an older lady, shall we say. I'm not going to gauge your age because then you'll say you're placing me in that category as well. But she'd come in with her trolley, and I met her first at the bananas. And she was completely thrown because she had a little list of the things that she needed to get, and bananas were one of them. But they were either too green or completely bruised, and there wasn't a banana that she could buy. And she got a little bit confused and flustered, and sure, I had a wee conversation and said, look, if you take the green ones and you leave them out on your bench, in a couple of days you'll be able to eat them and they'll be all right. She put the wee, and there, off she went. And we bumped into each other a couple of other times, and eventually we ended up together in the pharmaceutical aisles. And whenever I went down it, she was standing looking at completely empty shelves because there was no soap pumps left at all. And in one sense, then she said to me, look, I can only get here once a week. And most of the stuff on my list isn't here. And I just don't know what to do. So we looked at the empty aisle. And we looked down the bottom corner. And the very bottom corner, there were 4 packets of bars of soap. And I said, look, here's bars of soap. You could take this, and I'll take you back to your youth, whenever we used to use soap and not pump stuff. And actually, they say it's far better. And, oh, okay, okay. But she got herself in such a panic that she couldn't see the soap. Does that make sense? And then somebody else joined the conversation about nothing on the shelves and what's going on and why is there no toilet roll? And that's the question everybody's asking, isn't it? Why is there no toilet roll? And then she saw the soap and she goes, oh, there's bars of soap. That's all we need is bars of soap. That's going to sort all this out. Now, I was standing with my back to her at that stage. And she says, that's all we need, bars of soap. That's it sorted. And I turned round, lifted the bars of soap up, turned round to her, at which point she saw the dog collar. And I said, and Jesus, of course. He's quite important in the midst of all of this as well. And that little old lady, who was exceptionally quiet for a very long time, said at the top of her voice, amen! Which I, being truthful, I wasn't expecting. But in the midst of the uncertainty, we have moments to speak faith and life into the world around us at the moment. I might seem like a really simplistic opportunity, but actually, the man sitting at the pool and Jesus walking into the middle of it, the man received something very simple. We carry hope with us. We carry life with us. And we carry that out into our families, into our streets, into our communities, into our workplaces, into our schools, wherever it is that we're going this week. In the midst of all of the uncertainty, he who is in us is greater than he that is in the world, and we carry faith with us. Martin Luther said something, and I actually wrote it down because there's no, typed it, well, cut and pasted. There's no way I could remember this. Martin Luther, one of the great reformers, in response to the Black Plague that was happening at his time, that pandemic that swept the world. This is what he said. I shall ask God mercifully to protect us. Then I shall fumigate, help purify the air, administer the medicine and take it. I shall avoid places and persons where my presence is not needed in order not to become contaminated and lust, prehense, inflict and pollute others so they cause their death as a result of my negligence. If God should wish to take me, he will surely find me, and I have done what he has expected of me, so I am not responsible for either my own death or the death of others. If my neighbor needs me, however, I shall not avoid place or person, but will go freely as stated above. See, this is such a God-fearing faith, because it is neither brash nor foolhardy and does not tempt God. In the midst of this, we have wonderful opportunities to bring hope. I've had wonderful opportunities this week to teach my children how to deal with fear and how to respond to fear. We have wonderful opportunities of how to be a really good neighbor, to be his hands and his feet, his eyes and his ears in the streets that we live, to look out for those who are more vulnerable, who may need a helping hand whenever we're okay, to lift a phone and make a phone call to those who are elderly or alone and who are now sitting at home worrying. Because that simple phone call will say that they are still known and still loved by others and will break the loneliness and the isolation and the fear. We can share and show who Jesus is and the faith that we have. See, freedom from fear is not the absence of it. It's the presence of God within it. Freedom from fear is not the absence of it. It's the presence of God within it. And so we strike a balance. We strike a balance that says we're going to look after ourselves. We're going to be careful that we don't carry to other people. But we strike a balance. A balance that is reasonable, that is patient, and that is faithful. And that allows our light to shine really, really brightly. Because there is power in his presence. And in this moment, we are his presence. We're his hands and his feet, his eyes and his ears. And like never before, as I have went about my routine over the last number of days, as I've been seen on the streets with a dog collar in, the conversations that I have had have been immense and open, actually. People are open to being prayed with. People are open to asking questions of God. People are open to asking questions about hope, life, and faith. And we carry the answer within us. So let's temper our fear with reason. Let's temper our panic with patience. And let's temper our uncertainty with faith. Because the God that we've come to worship, he is still sovereign and he is still in control. Let's pray. Father God, in this moment we just want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you that in that story of the man at the pool, he had great faith. He listened to your words and he acted upon them. Lord, help us to continue to stand on your promises, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.